1 Peter 3:15 we find, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." This evening I want us to consider the subject of hope. It's something that we all need. I think it's something we might misunderstand. Before we get into the lesson, I want to say it's just so good to be here this evening. I don't know of a better place that we could be on Sunday evening. And it's just so nice to be able to come here. Everybody gets along, everybody just listening before service, enjoying talking with each other, brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage each other as we travel through this life for such a short time. The hope that is in you, and I've got a lot of extra papers this evening, so I hope everything makes sense as I shuffle them around. We sang a song this morning, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Friends, we have hope in Christ. If we are not in Christ, our life is just on sinking sand. What is hope? Again, when we go to Vine's dictionary, we see that it's a favorable and confident expectation. It has to do with the unseen and the future. Hope describes the happy anticipation of good, the ground upon which hope is based, and Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the object upon which the hope is fixed. Sometimes I think we use the term, "I hope it's going to get warmer this week. I hope tomorrow is sunny." With things like that, we should be saying, I wish it's warmer tomorrow. Hope is different. Hope is something we'll see as an anchor in our life. It's not something that we put out as like a wish list. Our hope is based on something solid, and it's a big part of our life. I have some quotes just from, not from the Bible, from people in the world, is how they see hope. "Hope never abandons you. You abandon it. Everything that is done in the world is done by hope. Never lose hope. Storms make people stronger and never last forever. Hope gets us through the storms. Every cloud has a silver lining. Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future." Hope is not an emotion, it's a way of thinking. Again, we sometimes use these words and we take on a feeling, "I really hope for this, I really hope for that." But it's hope is not an emotion, it's a way of thinking. Hope is an embrace of the unknown. We hope or else we cannot endure. Things start out as hopes and end up as habits. That's another one that shows that hope is the foundation for doing something. "Once you choose hope, anything's possible." That's a quotation from Christopher Reeve. And again, I've mentioned before that I heard him speak at a seminar, and it was so motivational, where he came out in one of these wheelchairs with a respirator machine that moved his lungs so that he was able to speak after he had that that horseback riding accident and broke his neck. And he said, once you choose hope, anything's possible. On a different note, to plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow. When we plant a garden today, we don't get the reward of that today. We plant it believing in tomorrow, and our hope is going to be fulfilled. While there's life, there's hope. Hope sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible. That's a quote from Helen Keller. We've been to her house and down in Alabama. It's close to where one of the churches is that supports me. And it's interesting that she said, hope sees the invisible. Friends, as Christians, we need to have hope. We need to be able to see the invisible. Proverbs 11:7, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. Friends, there's nothing worse than having no hope. And we've all seen people in life that they've resigned, they've given up. They have no hope. There's nothing worse than that. We might feel that way for a short period of time. We might lose our job. We might hear something bad from a doctor. And we just feel sick inside. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? But as a Christian, we have hope in God. And we can see through these short-term trials that come along. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Comparing the person without hope and the person with hope, that person without, his heart is sick. That person with hope, his desire is like a tree of life. It's growing, it's blooming, it's reaching upward. And Christianity is a religion of hope. It's a religion of hope. Going to slide, move on up here. It's a religion of hope. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, when they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all that will be made alive. So he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. Friends, we don't have hope in Christ just in this life. That would be good. That would help us with our life. But if we have hope only of Christ in this life, we're of all men most miserable because we're missing the fact of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we can have hope, we can have assurance, we can have an anchor, we can have a foundation that we can stand on and get through any of the storms in life. Paul told Titus, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So what is hope? It's confident expectancy. Confident expectancy. One of the memory verses on our memory verse workbook, I hope you all know what I'm thinking of, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future. And what? And a hope. A hope. This was one of the verses I used last week, talking about when we live in a world of constant emergencies. And part one was put your trust in God. Part two was standing on the promises of God, which are verses from our memory work. Matthew 6:33, Romans 8:28, Jeremiah 29:11, 1 John 1:7, 1:8, and 1:9. Proverbs 3:5, Proverbs 3:6, 1 Corinthians 10:13. We stand on the promises, and we have hope. We have hope. Is that easy to do? It's easy to do when things are going our way. If things go the other way, it's hard to do. But that's what we need to do, is stand on His promises, trust in His hope. So in the Bible, hope is confident expectancy. And the word stands for two things, the act of hoping and the thing hoped for. 1 Corinthians 9:10. Or does he say it altogether for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of this hope. That goes back to the saying that I read about a garden. Planting a garden is in hope. It's in hope of what you're going to get. That they must have read what Paul told the church at Corinth. He who plows should plow in hope. You have hope. You do the work, you have hope that something is going to come from it. And that thing hoped for, Colossians 1:5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. What's the hope that we have to carry us through life? The hope that is laid up in heaven, our eternal reward, our inheritance, being with our Father, being with all the saints. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to what? To a living hope, not a dead hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ didn't stay in the tomb. He arose. He's alive. We can have a living hope. Now, hope does not arise from our desires or wishes, but from God. Our hope comes from God, who is himself the believer's hope. David said, my hope is in you. Whatever we hope for, our hope needs to be in God. Psalm 39:7. There's no power in me, but there's all the power in God. Boy, I hope I get that new job. I hope I get that house we're looking at. I hope I get this. I hope I get that. We fall into that trap. I've done that. I hope for something. That's looking at hope the wrong way. There's no power in me. It's all in God. Genuine hope is not wishful thinking, but it's a firm assurance about the things that are unseen and still in the future. If we can see it, it's not hope. If we don't see it, that's where hope comes in. Romans 8:24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Hope is those things that are unseen. That God is going to give us. It doesn't come from within us. It comes from God. My hope is in you. And the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Hope distinguishes the Christian from the unbeliever who has no hope. Hope distinguishes the believer from the unbeliever. What do we have that the unbeliever does not have? We have hope. We have hope. No matter if the world is collapsing round about us, no matter if this country falls, no matter if there's a financial crisis, no matter if we lose our health, no matter what, we can have hope. and that hope can carry us through anything. Ephesians 1:12, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Just think back before you were a Christian. What hope did you have? You didn't have any hope at all. Being aliens from the commonwealth, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But when we become a Christian, when we become a believer, we have hope. And that separates us from everybody out there that is not a believer. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. There are those that died without Christ that had no hope. As a Christian, you are the one in whom hope resides. Again, back to 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When things are going bad, people should see that there's something different about us. They should see that there's something that they should see it so much that they want to ask us, and always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With the way things are going, why are you so happy? Why do you have hope? Why aren't you like everyone else? And Peter says, always, always be ready. We shouldn't be unprepared to give a reason, not a, well, I think or I feel or somebody told me this. We should be able to explain to friends or strangers, I have this hope because my hope is not in what I see. My hope is in the unseen. My hope is not in this world. My hope is in the one that created this world. My hope is in the one that led all the ancients through history, through time, to where they needed to be. My hope is in the one that sent his son to die for me, that I can have my sins forgiven and have a hope of eternal life. And when we tell them this, when we give them this answer, what do we do? Do we blast them and shout at them and don't you understand this? No, he says, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, with humility and respect. Again, as a Christian, we shouldn't talk to anybody any other way. We should talk to them with meekness and respect, whether they are our closest friend or our greatest enemy. We talk to them with humility and respect. John says in 1 John 3:3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This hope that we have is the reason that we stop sinning. It's not automatic. This hope that we have is a motivation for us to stop sinning. How can we have hope for heaven if we continue in sin? We can't do it. We can't do it. We have to walk in the light. Our hope, when we contrast it with the Old Testament, our hope is superior to what they had. Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God. So where does your hope come from? Your hope comes from God and from his calling. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of what? The God of hope. the God of hope, Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So where do we get our hope? We get our hope from the God of hope. We don't get our hope from what we see out here. That you may abound in hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Again, how can we have peace when things are falling apart? We can have peace because of our hope in God. Our hope in God, the God of hope. And Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. And later on in that letter that he wrote to him in chapter 4, he says, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling. So, in contrast, our hope is superior to the Old Testament. Our grace is superior. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. We have the word is superior. Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Where do we get comfort? From his word. His word gives us hope. What is superior in our hope to the Old Testament? The gospel. Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from what? From the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Do you see how we use the word hope wrong? And we, instead of saying I wish, it's hope is tied to God. Hope is tied to his grace, his word, his gospel. If indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I need to watch that I don't say I hope for this and I hope for that so much. I can wish for things, but this hope is so different. It's so different. And when we have this hope that comes from God, the God of hope, this hope that is in our life, when we have this hope, it should be directed back toward God and Christ. In Acts 24:15, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection from the dead, both of the just and the unjust. We have hope in God. Hope is the basis for our worship. We worship God because of the hope of what is coming. 1 Peter 1:21, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Some people's worship is lacking because their hope is lacking. They just come and go through the motions. It's just a routine to them. They come, they open their mouth, they sing songs, say a prayer and set and then leave. And they have no hope. Their worship is lacking because their hope is lacking. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and the Father. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. If we don't have hope, do we really think that we are in Christ? Do we really think that we are children of the God of hope? Well, what are some of the objects of hope? Because just like planting that garden, we plant that garden in hope, not for what we see today, but for the unseen. So there are some unseen things that are the objects of our hope. Consider eternal life. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That's something it's proper to say we hope for. We hope for eternal life, in hope of eternal life. Titus 3:7, having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All of these things that God is saying that we can have, we have by hope. We have them. It's like an assurance, but we don't see them. And we don't think many times that we have something unless we can see it and feel it and touch it. But all of these things are waiting for us. These things are unseen, but they are spoken of as we have them because of the hope that we have in God. We have eternal life. We have salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation, righteousness. Galatians 5:5. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We have salvation by hope. We have the glory of God. Romans 5:2, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and glory of God. Passage after passage talks about the hope that we have. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's one of the other objects of hope? The appearing of Christ. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. One more that's an object of our hope. It's the resurrection from the dead. Acts 2:23, verse 6. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." The resurrection is part of our hope. Acts 26, verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise are 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For their hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Do you see how much hope we can have and how our hope comes from God? I want to pause from these points for a minute and just mention some of the songs that we have that are listed under the index that are according to hope. Higher Ground, A Mighty Fortress, Amazing Grace, Be Not Dismayed, Whatever Be Tied. That's, we don't need to worry. We have hope in God because He lives. Come Share the Lord. Faith is the victory. God holds the future in His hands. That's hope. That's hope. God's going to take care of us. Great is Thy faithfulness. Hallelujah, we shall rise. when on that resurrection day, we're going to rise. We have hope of that. It's an assurance. He is able. He lives. Heaven came down. I know whom I have believed. I'll fly away. That's a great hope. I'll fly away. No matter what happens in this world, no matter what the troubles are, no matter if we're persecuted, no matter if we have a perfect life here, this life is only temporary, but if we are in God, the God of hope, when our end comes, we'll fly away. We'll fly away to paradise. Some of these aren't as familiar that we sing. I'm going down through the list. Praise Him, praise Him. Precious Memories. I think that's one of Jim's songs that he likes. Precious Memories. It's a beautiful song. And we have that because of hope. Hope. Whispering Hope. There's song after song written about hope. And then sometimes we fall in a slump and it's like we have no hope. We don't understand hope. And then, as we read, without hope, we are miserable. We're miserable. So what is hope? Hope, another part of hope, it's the anchor of the soul. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable, this is two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And we would say, as the sea billows roll, the Hebrew writer says, in which enters the presence of the veil. We have that hope. Nobody else in the world, the unbeliever does not have that hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith stands under the things for which you hope. Faith is the evidence for the things you have not seen. The things that you have not seen are the things for which you hope. So they go together. What do we hope for? We hope for a new body. We hope to be with God. We hope for heaven. We hope for eternal happiness. We hope for our mansion over in the glory land. We hope to be with Christ and the saints. The Jews of the first century had a hope, but it was not the right one. They hoped that Jesus would come and be an earthly king, that Jesus would come and deliver them from the Romans. But there's only one hope, and we read about that in Ephesians 4. That one hope is not Jewish, it's not Catholic, it's not any denominational hope. It's the hope that we have in God. And friends, when we have that hope, we have verse, we've looked at verse after verse after verse talking about this. When we have that hope, what are we going to do with that hope? What are we going to do with it? Friends, God wants you to be able to tell people about that hope that you have. He doesn't want us to close our lips and act like we are without hope. Hope, again, back to the verse we keep going to, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason that hope is in you with meekness and fear. He wants us to share that hope with others. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And friends, the more we demonstrate hope, the more people are going to notice us. If we walk around with our head down, staring at our shoes while we're walking and just woe is me, we're going to blend in with everybody else. But when people see that we have a different disposition, they're going to take notice. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You think about Jeremiah and everything that we've been studying about him and that he went through. How did he make it? How did he keep going? His hope was in the Lord. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason. Why do you have this hope? Why do you have this hope? Why are you different? And finally, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and following. Thus, God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold of hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Friends, I hope we understand. I shouldn't have said that. I wish we understand hope a little bit better. We need it. The Bible gives us reason for hope. And again, that little slip that I made, we fall into the habit of using the terminology of the world instead of the terminology of the Bible. And we need to speak Bible things so people understand the Bible and not only speak them, but live them. Friends, if there's anyone this evening that needs prayers, needs to make confession, needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
I want to sing the next song.